Now, you may be wondering why I would start a Father's Day message with these two verses. Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Because a man cannot be a good father until he knows what being a man really is. Very well could be that fatherhood has been looked over because manhood has been looked over. If we as men look at how culture defines a man, we see a celebration of toughness, dominance, independence, and success. But what does the Bible say about true manhood? We see courage. But we also see humility. We see integrity and compassion. And we will see self-control. Now, how do we know that these should be the qualities of being a man? Because all of these descriptives point to the God-man, Jesus Christ. All of those adjectives, all of those descriptives were perfected in the man called Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but as a husband, as a father, as a man, if I'm going to look for a model to which to live by, to show what true manhood is, Jesus is that one. We have lots of movie stars. Most of them aren't worth a lick when it comes to being models. We see politicians. Again, most of them aren't worth a lick. But when we look to Jesus, we begin to see the perfect model of a man. In Jesus, we see a man who was not afraid to go where others would fear. He would speak the truth when others would just go along with the lie. We see in Jesus humility. Now, once again, humility doesn't mean weakness. We've got a bad perception of humility. Humility is not weakness. Humility is power under control. Now, Jesus was humble in spirit. How do we know that? Because God the Creator allowed the created to put him upon the cross and let him die for the cause of salvation. At any time, Jesus had the power, Jesus had the authority to call 10,000 angels, destroy man, and start over again. And he would have been right to do so. But in his humility, even though he had the power to do so, something amazing happened. His love overridden his power. His love empowered him to humility. Not only was Jesus humble, he had great compassion. Jesus didn't come into the world just to teach and preach. Jesus came in the world to touch the broken and heal them. He touched the blind and made them see. He spoke to those who were lame and they were able to walk. Jesus didn't just speak to the leper. Jesus would touch those that nobody else would touch. See, that's what true manhood is. We have to have the courage to go where nobody else is willing to go. We have to have the compassion. We have to have the self-control. We have to have the humility that the world is in desperate need. And may I dare I say, our family is in desperate need. Children don't need a dad that rules by the fist. Children need a dad that have compassion. Children need a father that shows humility. Children need a dad that has courage to do that which is right when nobody else will. Men, we have to do what's right when nobody else is willing to do what's right. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of it. It doesn't matter what other people think what is right. We as true men will do that which the Word of God has commanded us to do. And we will not be ashamed. And we will stand tall in following Christ. We see an example of this command in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That is the call of every man that's walked this earth. Especially if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. To be a real man, we will not be what the world thinks is a man. We looked at some of the characteristics that we must have because of who Jesus is and the characteristics that he had. A real man will walk with God. A real man will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A real man will lead his family in such a way that there is no exceptions. We will be in the house of God on Sunday and worship the one who died for us. A man has to do that. What the church needs today are men. The church is in need of men. I'm not talking about guys that just come in and sit on a Sunday and walk out. I'm talking about men of God who have the desire not just to polish a pew with their behind, but to get involved in the life of other people, to work and be compassionate towards those who don't have and are hurting and are broken, who can lead their families to places other men don't have the guts to lead. It is so easy for men to lay in bed on Sunday morning because they have worked all these hours, because in their head, in their mind, being a father is just providing. But I'm going to tell you young men and all us fathers that when we lay on our deathbed, we will never look back and wish we had have worked more. What we will do is look back and say we wish we spent more time with our family. We will look back and say, I wish I would have led them to Jesus like I should have. That's what we should do now while we have breath in our lungs and the strength in our bones. See, the goal for me is at the end of my life is to look back and have the least amount of regrets that there are. I'm going to have regrets. But I'm going to do my best to make them as few as possible. Titus chapter 2, verse 6-8 says, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. Why? So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. See, well, listen, when a man walks in integrity, and when a man says something and fulfills what they say they're going to do, when you give your word and you fulfill it, then people can rely on you. Then you are known as a man. There was a day you didn't need contracts. There was a day you could walk up and say, this is what we're going to do, shake hands, and it was a done deal. But what's happened over time, men have become snarling cowards, and we now need lawyers to protect us instead of man's word. And if that's the way men have become, what's going to happen to our children? It's just perpetual, becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Man, I don't know about you, but I want people to look at me, and when I say I'm going to do something, they know I'm going to do it. Why? Because I said I would. There is a call for real men to be courageous, to be protectors. And I'm not talking just about physical harm. I don't know a man worth his salt that would let anybody come into their house and hurt their wife or their children. There isn't a man worth a lick of salt that do that. You've already got the plan. Somebody comes in my house, it's going to be a bad day for them. But what about the evil one that wants to enter into your home and destroy your family? What are we doing as husbands, as fathers, to protect our family from the evil one? That we are to stand in the gap and be the protector of our families. And the only way we can do that, men, is being on our face before a holy God and being in the Word of God, hear His voice, so that we may stand when others would cower before Satan. Not us. You're not having anything to do with our family. You're not having anything to do with our children. Why? Because I am Dad, hear me roar. I have the authority and the power of the Spirit of the living God that dwells in me, and you have no workings in my home. And as men of God, as fathers, we fall on our face and pray for our children every day of their lives. My dad tells me still today, I pray for you every day. And I'm grateful. Doesn't matter how old our kids get, we never stop praying for them. Never. And we never stop praying for our wives. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says this. God said, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. I think that's the same thing God's saying today. And I think He's saying it in the church. I'm looking for that man that will stand in the gap between that which wants to destroy us, who's willing to be courageous, who's willing to be compassionate, who's willing to have self-control. But God said, I found no one. See, to be a Christian man is the epitome of manhood. But it is also the foundation of being a godly father. Mike and I were talking. It was really hard to find an example among the men of the Bible as a good father, because all of them were a mess. Which, aren't we all? But it was hard to use someone as an example when you're like, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm messing up like that guy. We want to look for that example to strive for. The best example of a good father comes from the Heavenly Father. I think we take for granted many times the influence a father can have on a child's life. Dads, I'll tell you this, that you do your best of dads to pour into your children and you think, man, I might as well just be talking to that wall. Hey, these knuckleheads just aren't getting it. Boy or a girl. But I can tell you that your words are not lost on them, nor are the deeds that you show. Your children watch you, dads. They see how you deal with circumstances of life. They watch how you treat other people. They watch how you treat their mother. So they watch us. And so we have a great influence on our children's lives. They listen not only to the tone of the voice of a father, but they listen to the message that that voice gives. Fathers, we need to be reminded of the effect on our children. It will be either for good or it'll be for bad. A father shapes and guides and even bring life to their children, not just through their words, but in deed as well. This has been a very difficult message for me, because I can look back and see many regrets. The baseball games I missed. All the things that work seemed more important because I was so fixated on being a good associate pastor. I put being a good father behind me. And for that, I will have to answer to the Lord Almighty. Loving Father will give confidence, security, and affirmation that child needs as they go through life. Listen, they've got enough influences in their life trying to tell them how horrible they are, how weak they are, how they'll never amount to anything. They need a father that stands in and says, that's not true. That voice is not the voice of truth. Let me tell you who you are. First off, you're my child. And that's important. Tell my children every time they left for school, remember who you are and whose you are. They need a father that will speak confidence, security. Nobody's going to hurt you as long as dad's around. Fathers, we have been given the greatest opportunity to show and give transformative love. We have been given the opportunity to love our children in such a way that it transforms their life. Who they will become will be a lot about how we pour into them, what they see in us, how we reflect the way God designed fatherhood to be. And as fathers, we must always remember that our children are our greatest ministry. It's the greatest ministry we will ever have. We see a picture of this in a very familiar text in Luke 15:11-24. And you all probably know this text very well, because it's the parable of the prodigal son. The third of three great parables in that chapter. This parable, we see a very wealthy man who had two sons. And the youngest son chose his inheritance today. I want what's owed to me. I want my inheritance today, Dad. In doing that, he wanted to get away from his father. He wanted to get away from rules and responsibility that comes from being this man's son. And the sad truth is when this son asked for his inheritance, that was something only given after the father dies. So in essence, in that son's heart, he couldn't wait till his father died. And it's with this background we see the heart of a true father. Although his son wished he would just die, that same father would pace every day back and forth, day and night, desperately waiting for the return of that son. And when that son finally came back to his senses and chose to return home, he came willing to be a servant in his father's house if just he would be taken back. But as he entered into that father's area of living, into where the father could see him walking towards the house, he found a father that wasn't just waiting for his return, but this was the father that threw all decorum to the side, hiked up his clothing, and ran to meet his son, the one that he loved, even though he wished him dead. This father did not remind his son of his faults. But he forgave and restored his son into the position he was before he left. In this parable, we are shown the love of the Heavenly Father to forgive. And that earthly fathers must also learn to forgive. Fathers, we've got to learn to forgive our children. We cannot allow their hearts at times get in the way of our love for them. So he didn't just let his son in, he restored him. There is no perfect human father. I think we would all agree with that. I think as fathers, we could look in the mirror and see ourselves for who we are. The regrets, the times we wish we would have done some things differently. They don't have to be horrible things, just things we would have done differently. There are many times, just as the father is commanded to forgive, children, you must also be able to forgive the shortcomings of your fathers. You've got to be able to forgive the shortcoming of your own father. It is only through forgiveness that the burden of bitterness can be released. Young ones, teenagers, that you think you've got all the answers and you've got it going on and that you're absolutely perfect, I want you to remind you to reconcile those things in your heart before it's too late. I wish and desire that you would not have the time where you would have great regret and heartbreak because you chose not to forgive your dad. Because that's going to be difficult to overcome. And when we look at forgiveness in relationships, there is no greater example of forgiveness than God's forgiveness for a sinful man. The Bible tells us clearly that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God and that we're all in need of forgiveness. The Bible says that our righteousness is a filthy rags. Every one of us. And just like the Father in the parable, the Heavenly Father desires for the lost to come home. See, He has prepared a path of return for us all, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's prepared the way. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that every one of us had a wonderful childhood and had a wonderful dad. But I will tell you that there is a Heavenly Father that loves you more than you could ever understand. It is this God who said He would never leave nor forsake you. That's why I love that skit so much when we were looking at it. And I appreciate Nikki putting that together. Because sometimes when we walk this world, we may not feel the Father's hand upon our shoulder. And there'll be times we won't even be able to hear His voice. Those are the times we can cry out, "Daddy, are you there? Daddy, will you come help me?" And He said all who would call upon His name would be saved. It is when you call upon the name of Jesus for salvation and forgiveness, it is then we will be able to be His child. It is then we can understand what Romans 8:15 says. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" In modern terms, we get to call Him Daddy. That when we finally receive the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided so lovingly for us, that we're able to call God the Father Daddy. I want you to know that as in the parable, it is true that God the Father desires to hear those words more than you could ever desire to cry them out. Fathers, we have a great example to look to, and that's Jesus. You're not going to do things perfectly. And you're going to have regrets. It's okay to ask your children to forgive you when you make those mistakes. And children, it is good when you ask your Father to forgive you when you've fallen. So happy Father's Day to all you dads. and to you young men who will someday be fathers. You determine now in your heart the kind of dad that you will be. But today, you have to have the desire and choose that one day you will be a godly father. You will be the father that stands in the gap, not only between the evils of this world, but the evils of the enemy who wants to sift your family. So be strong and courageous.